for the people, for the society, for my local area, I will drink beer.
Yeah. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to A Little About A Lot.
My name is Becky.
And my name is Kelsey.
And this is a podcast where we just talk about things that are on our mind and we find interesting and we want to chat about.
We talk a little about a lot of different things. And I'm sorry, not sorry, that that's all it is. Sometimes I feel like I'm like, should this be more? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Do you want more from us?
Ooh, tell us. You can email us. Good segue. podcast@thesorrygirls.com. Because at the end of this podcast, we're going to answer some of your emails as well. So stay tuned for that.
As we do. Yeah, I know. I listen to podcasts and sometimes it's like deep journalism or like true crime storytelling. And I'm just like, we talk about our lives.
It's like an elevated vlog almost. So if you like that, you probably like this.
Yeah. And also people say really nice things about how this is like they feel like they're having a conversation with their good friends. And I'm like, that's respect. Yeah, that's cool. I like that. I will take that.
So what are we talking about today?
Well, today we're going to get into a little bit about, sorry, I didn't even mean to like make that joke, but it just happened. We're going to talk a little bit about house owning, renting versus owning. We are, as you guys know, well, you're not a new owner, but I am. I'm not even technically an owner yet. Am I jinxing things? Because, like, I haven't even closed on this home yet.
Oh, you're, no.
And,
No. Okay. We're putting out the good feelers into the world. You're essentially a homeowner.
Basically a homeowner, yeah. So, we're going to get into that. But first, we're going to talk about our week.
This week has been a lot of just filming the same video. We were doing a Halloween costume video, which I think turned out really, really good. But it just took many, many, many days to do it.
I know. And then we've also been working on a side table video that's taken up forever.
Yeah.
Multiple days. I don't know. Are we getting bad at our jobs? Like, why are things taking so long?
I think we just have more things to do now.
Yeah, like other than the video. Yeah, like lots of housekeeping and stuff. Like somehow spent 2 hours at a bank.
Mm-hmm.
Ew. And like literally got nothing done.
Love banks. We'll talk about that more when you get to houses. But my weekend, I guess, is where interesting stuff happened. On one day, we went to a pumpkin patch, which is like the quintessential thing to do in fall. But I haven't done it in, I don't know, forever. Mm-hmm. Like, I have memories from like a little kid going, but like as an adult, haven't really gone. So we went. I went with Austin, and it was really fun. Very crowded, though.
Yeah.
But we went for a very short time. To grab a pumpkin, take some pics, and then go home.
In and out. That's all you need.
In and out. I know, which is really good. Something exciting happened this weekend, too. Rachel and Eric, my good friends that I think I've talked about before on the podcast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They have a house. They got engaged. And she asked me to be in her wedding.
Oh, yay.
But
I feel like I thought that was already a thing, but I just assumed.
I had like thought, but I didn't actually get asked officially, and you never want to assume that.
No, but also awkward. You have so many friends getting married.
Yes, which I want to talk about how crazy my next summer is going to be.
Oh, geez.
And I don't want this to come off like complainy in any way at all, because very exciting, but here's what's happening. Well, first of all, my sister's getting married.
Yes.
But then later on in the summer, my best friend, Rebecca, is getting married.
Yep.
And Rachel's getting married.
Yeah.
And guess when those weddings are?
What?
Friday and Saturday of the same weekend.
Wait, Rachel and Rebecca? Can they not?
And I'm in both weddings.
Can they not?
I don't know what I'm going to do. Ladies. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't stay up late, I guess, for the Friday wedding, because I'm guessing for Saturday I'm going to have to be there early in the morning to get ready.
Oof.
I know. But, like, I'm very excited and grateful. Like, this is going to be awesome. And I love all these people
so
much.
You just, like, wish that they were further apart so that you could, like, maybe fully enjoy them a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm excited, and it's going to be an awesome time. But, oh, my goodness, is it going to be an insane weekend?
Yeah. But he's like, I can't come in that week.
Now I'm just – and I don't want any of this to be about me at all, because it's super not my wedding.
Yeah.
But, like, think about all the events that come with weddings.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like showers and bachelorettes. So if I have three of those, like, the chances – like, there's only so many weekends in a summer.
Yeah. You guys know my thoughts on those.
I don't want any of those to be, like, on the same day, and then I have to choose, because how – that's an awful – situation.
It's kind of like whoever asks you first, I guess.
Yep.
Well, hello, future late. I hope everybody listening to this podcast, aka Becky's wedding ladies, brides. Yeah, you better get into asking her for her time because she's gonna be busy.
I did tell people that in like a gentle, low key way. I was like, if you ever know dates for anything, like, please let me know as soon as possible.
Yeah, I'm and obviously person. They understand.
Yes.
Jeez, that is crazy.
I know. I found out and I was like, Austin, what's the date of the other one?
Oh no.
And like, I'm actually very lucky that it wasn't the same day. Imagine they were both on a Saturday.
Like, would they change it? I guess not.
You can't, like, I would never ask someone or expect anyone to change a wedding for, like, me. That's crazy.
Well, they would do it for you. They would do it for them and wanting you.
Exactly. There. I guess so, right?
How flattering.
Well, luckily I didn't have to make that choice, but that was an exciting weekend, I guess, talking about that kind of stuff.
Wow.
What did you do?
This weekend, well, I also did a folly thing. We had an early Thanksgiving, which if you're listening from America, you're like, that is very early because our Canadian Thanksgiving is this upcoming weekend, which when you're listening to this, it's the weekend that just passed. And yeah, I actually today would be Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody listening on Monday.
Oh, that's right. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, so I had an early Thanksgiving in Cobourg, which is so great. I love Cobourg. It's so pretty there. So everything. So quaint.
Did you do the big Thanksgiving dinner, spread, all that?
Pretty much, which, like, for me means no, it was fish instead of turkey.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I was going to make something that's, like, a little bit more festive. Like, I don't know. I saw these little gourds, but they were stuffed with rice, but that's not really protein. So I wanted to do, like, gourds, like, they're mini pumpkins, basically. And but they're, like, cooked and everything. And then you do maybe, like, some kind of bean rice thing in it. I don't know. Maybe I'll try it for my boyfriend's Thanksgiving, which is going to be actual Thanksgiving.
I saw on, speaking of that theme on Pinterest, someone had done the thing with a little pumpkin and shelled it out and put butternut squash soup in it. So it was, like, a little pumpkin bowl.
Yeah.
And I want to make that because it looks so good.
Seriously.
Bread bowl, don't know her. Pumpkin bowl, yes.
Yes, bestie. Okay, then also, I have a guilty pleasure.
What is
that? I feel like you guys would not expect this from me.
Okay, go.
I have been watching TikTok.
Oh.
I know.
Who are you?
Who is she? I want to be the bread bowl. Let's go back in time. I don't know. I'm this new pumpkin girl. But like, it's not a good thing, so.
So, like, you downloaded the app and now you're hooked.
Okay, so I'll tell you guys. I'll tell you what happened. I downloaded TikTok a long time ago because, like, TikTok, I don't know if you guys know this, but I will totally out everybody. They were approaching influencers, or not influencers, but, like, YouTubers, maybe Instagrammers too, but YouTubers, to create TikTok accounts because they wanted to get more people on the platform.
Yep.
And I guess different kind of content. And so they're literally doing, it was like a TikTok brand deal. And some people have done those. Mm-hmm. So they asked us about it, but we ended up not doing it. I think we were kind of like, this is not really our vibe. Although now I'm like, maybe it is my vibe because I love TikTok. anyway, so there's a couple different reasons. I got the TikTok account. And then you know what actually got me into it now? Because that was a little while ago that I first downloaded it and I didn't really use it. It's because people were posting their TikToks on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So like Adeline... and a couple other YouTubers that have Instagram accounts were posting their TikToks on Instagram. And I was like, what is this? Like, I feel like I'm missing something. And I knew that it was from TikTok because sometimes they would say it, or I can just tell, like, yeah, it's TikTok-y. So I went to TikTok and then I just, like, got sucked in. So literally, yeah. Like, I was texting David last night and he was like, what? I was like, I didn't eat dinner. I literally just freaking watch TikTok and the time just flew by and I hate it. It's the worst. Oh, do not do it. It's like a drug. But also it's so funny because there's all these different, it's basically, if you guys, I'm sure you probably know TikTok, but if you need a further explanation, I think what's interesting about it to me is that there's these like little clips of songs and you don't usually know where they're from. A lot of them are musicals. Some of them, like Beetlejuice is really popular on TikTok right now. Mm-hmm. And then it's like everybody's different interpretation of it.
I have been on TikTok before. The weirdest part about it, I think, from what I remember, is that you can take somebody's TikTok and then beside it, like,
It's called a duet. I learned so much.
Oh boy.
Like, I am a TikTok expert.
And except that I find wild.
I don't know how to make them.
I was going to say, and so, what's your first TikTok like? Because I'm guessing you made one.
Dude, I think that we should, I don't know, guys, coming soon, to, like, imagine DIY themed TikToks. Like, there's this one, this was the very popular one that's, I think, made it over to Instagram right now, and it's like, I used to be so beautiful, now look at me, doon 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 doon. No.
What happens?
Danielle knows. So it's like, it's supposed to be like an not cute, like, a little video view, and then people do this thing with their arms where they do like an X, and they're like, choo, choo, choo. And then when they bring their arms down, it's a like a match cut.
Oh yeah.
So then all of a sudden they're like hot. So imagine it was like an old, like, imagine it was like a dresser where you're upcycling or something. It's like, I used to be so beautiful, now look at me. And then it's,
I,
like,
I don't know who I'm talking to right now. You are the one who was the most against TikTok.
Guys, I'm still so against it because it's a freaking time waste. But also, I like the creativity that's coming out of it. That's what I really appreciate about it.
Wow. Well, coming soon, Kelsey's TikTok account.
Becky, I'm going to show you after this podcast. Like, I'm going to give you a little debrief on TikTok.
Okay, let's do it.
Some of my faves. It had me laughing out loud, literally. Okay, anyways.
You went to a haunted house on a less funny note. How was that?
Yeah, on a less funny note. I also went to a haunted house. Casa Loma. Have I talked about this? Why does this sound familiar? Because I just talked about it in the vlog. That's maybe. It. Casa Loma has so many different events at it. It's like a castle in Toronto, but it's actually not a castle. It's just a, like, rich financier's old home, but it is old. But yeah, long story short, it is beautiful. We've gone to some events there, but they do a haunted house, and it's a little bit expensive. Like, 3 times the movie ticket price. I don't know.
What is it a person? Like 40? 40
something, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but it's really cool and very long, and there's a bar in the middle. So it's like, it feels like a whole experience. That's, you know, cool. What I mean? Mm-hmm. If you're like $40 to walk through some like creepy lighting and like a couple actors jumping out at you, you're like, what? Mm. But it feels like a whole night experience. Then we grabbed a little drink and dinner after nearby, and it was like rainy. It was cute. It was a nice little date night. But
it's a moment. Was it scary though? Like, would you recommend?
Yeah.
Those are two questions. Two different questions.
It wasn't like, I think it's because I got a little like psyched out for it. Like, I was told it's so scary. Mm-hmm. So then I was like expecting to be terrified, and I wasn't that scared. But also the whole point is you just have to make sure that you're not, you can't see the person in front of you.
Right.
Like, you have to make sure there's enough space. So literally don't feel bad about it. Just stand there and wait until you can't see the person in front of you. Because otherwise you're like, why did you pay $40 to watch the person in front of you get scared?
That's true. That's very, like, true.
That's the rule for any haunted house. But anyways, I would totally recommend that in the evenings at Casa Loma. They also do like orchestra nights there and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The coolest part was they projected onto Casa Loma. And like, Casa Loma's huge. And they projected onto it. It was sick.
Yeah, you guys have to watch last week's vlog, the one that went up this week, but week
Wednesday
timeline. Wednesday. By the time you're hearing this, it would be last week's vlog.
Yeah,
there is video footage of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something I think that I don't know if we've said in a vlog yet.
No.
So podcast fam is maybe hearing it first.
Well, yeah. They will be probably.
Claire, who you guys know really well, is actually leaving us because she got a new job offer, which is really exciting. So today, and maybe tomorrow, is like her last day with us.
Yep.
Which is really bittersweet. So tonight we're going out as a team to do kind of like a last hurrah celebration together.
Yeah, we're going to do a little brew hop because there's actually so many breweries near us. And I don't know about you guys, but I've never been to them. And I'm not even the biggest beer drinker, but I've been on lots of brewery hops with my friends. And it's just so fun.
Plus, it's cool to just, like, support your local hood, you know?
Yes, I say this a lot in my head, but I don't say it out loud enough. But if you guys have things in your area that you like or you want to try out, mm-hmm. or you like to shop at, go do that. Like, you know, as much as we love Amazon, if there's, like, a green, environmentally friendly store in your neighborhood or a grocery store or something, anything, shop there. Because guess what? If you're not shopping there, then they're going to go away because they can't.
Yeah.
Sustain themselves. So if we don't visit this brewery, it's going to leave us. Okay? So okay, we have to.
For the people, for the society, for my local area, I will drink beer.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what we're going to do tonight.
Also on the vlog.
That will be, yes.
We will vlog it all. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to spill the tea and homeowners. Because I honestly don't know how many people out there home own. versus rent of our listeners. Which reminds me, can I post a poll on Instagram?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you talk. I'll do that. You know what that reminded me of? When usually my boyfriend has to use the washroom or something, or like I have to, and you're like, or you're doing something loud, like washing dishes, and you're like, okay, I'm putting you on mute, but like, go ahead and talk. And then you're just like, I'm talking to myself now, but like also trying to entertain the other person on the phone.
Oh, like on a phone call?
On a phone call. Yes.
That's funny. So I feel like we've touched on homes and homeownership in multiple different podcasts just briefly because Kelsey's been in the home buying process. But this is the official podcast on it. All of our thoughts are going to be like put right here so you can hear it all about homeowning.
Yeah, by the end of this podcast, I will have an answer for you guys of what the majority of our audience on Instagram does. And if you're not following us on Instagram, do that. At the Sorry Girls.
I feel like that'll be an interesting answer too, because I feel like most or a lot of our Instagram audience is like Toronto or GTA Ontario based. So it's interesting. I feel like in a big city, maybe people are less likely to own, but in smaller, more rural areas, like renting's not so much a thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, the post is up and we'll find out later.
Stay tuned.
Hopefully the answer is both and not just all renting or but all owning.
If it's renting, it could be interesting because a lot of people might be thinking about the process.
Yeah.
And this could answer some of your cues.
I know we're touching on things we've already talked about, but I think we have already talked about like why you made the jump from renting to owning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you actually, yeah. Well, you were living at home, so you're lucky you didn't even have to do rent for that last little stage.
Yep.
I feel like the main reason I went from renting to owning is when I was moving out of this loft, which was, I loved living here, but it just, this place is our business first, or we needed it obviously for the business. So I was like, okay, bye-bye. So then when I was looking for a place, it was this weird timeline where I'm like, I don't have like a huge hard out date here at the loft, but I was like, I want to get out for my own sanity. But I was also trying to like wait till I found something good. And I just like never really even found something good. Like my apartment, yeah, it's like cute and stuff, but it's definitely not ideal. I'm not like, oh, I'm so excited about every little part of it. I'm like, no, it's tiny and I made it work basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not like, this is my, I can see myself living here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when I was looking for an apartment, while I was looking, I already knew that I might be buying a house soon just because it was so hard to find an apartment. So I totally feel for everybody out there like looking for a home or apartment or whatever, house, condo. It is so difficult. It is so expensive. And I was like, why am I – like I kind of already had the down payment and straight up I got some inheritance, which also helped mm-hmm. out. Because I know as soon as you tell people that you're like getting a house, I know the first question in their head is like, how could they do that? Like, how were they able to manage that? Because it's such
expensive,
it's such a big expensive purchase. But yeah, I was having such a hard time looking for an apartment, and I wasn't even thinking about buying, except my mom was like, why don't you look into buying? She's like, if it's this hard and things are that expensive and a mortgage is going to be like basically the same price that you're paying in rent, she's like, why don't you like think about it? And I was like, okay. And then I start thinking about it.
It's true. Ignoring the fact that, yes, you do need to come up with a down payment, which is a lot of money.
Yeah.
Buying, if you can, like I'm saying, if you can, it makes so much more sense because you're not paying off someone else's mortgage every month. You're paying off your own.
Yeah.
And then after X amount of years, you own a thing. Like it's entirely yours. But after 20 years of renting, you don't.
Yeah. There's so many costs and stuff that come with owning a house too, and like scary things and permanent things. So I totally, there's are benefits to renting and owning, but also I think in our field, I invested so much into that apartment and I was only there for a year.
Yep.
And there's so many things that I want to do that I couldn't do. And just, yeah, like from our industry alone, I'm like, this just makes so much sense to us because we take so much value in like our space and we have the skills and the excitement to make it our own and upgrade it and keep changing it and investing in it.
Yeah, and I think maybe you can talk a little bit about this, but I think that allowed you to maybe look at home options that were a little less finished.
Yeah.
Or more undesirable to, like, the average person who doesn't have the knowledge to, like, fix up places.
I mean, and I don't have the knowledge to fix up the house that I bought to the degree that it needs fixing up. Like, I feel like in your home, it might be more cosmetic stuff. Mm-hmm. In mine, it's, like, very, like, functional. Like, I need to redo a basement and, like, take up the subfloor. I'm like, well, all these words I don't know, which I now know, though. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, and that wasn't even my plan because I was looking for things like cosmetic changes, like, oh, the kitchen cabinets aren't cute. No problem. I got that.
Yeah.
Or like doorknobs. No problem. I got that. Paint. No problem. Got that. But yeah, as soon as we're like, oh, redoing like plumbing or like electrical or like moving bathtubs and stuff like that, I'm just like, wow, this is way over my head. But basically, my real estate agent was like, we're not getting anywhere with looking at places that are already finished or even kind of finished to your liking. She's like, I think we might need to look at something that needs a little bit more of a reno, because then I can just get something that I can afford.
Yep.
That's what it came down to. Yeah.
I guess afford, but then you have to add back in the reno costs, right? So is it like afford plus reno is still cheaper than what you're looking at?
Yeah. So what I would do when I was buying homes is I would look at, what I would do is I would say, here's my budget. I would get a quote of how much it would take to renovate the place I was looking at, mm-hmm. minus that from my budget. And then I would end up with a number. And then I would say, okay, now is this number what the area's worth, basically? Like, by the time I put this money into it and by the time I buy it now, will I have this house that's way too expensive for the area? Because that's definitely a concern, too.
Right.
You don't want to be, like, overpaying for a house. But that's kind of what I did. And that's how I got the house that I bought, is I just took my, what I think the area's worth slash my top budget minus my reno costs. And that's what I went in on, because I tried that before, but I shaved off a couple. That's when I lost the house by like $4,000. It's because I didn't go in like at my top. I was holding back a bit.
And how do you get the reno cost estimate? Does you have to pay somebody to come look at it?
No. So, yeah, that was like a confusing process. I'm really lucky that I was put in contact with some really great contractors. And what I've learned is that there's contractors and then there's also like designers or like people that will actually like sketch out the design. Because some contractors, they'll just be like, what do you want? And you're like, okay, I want a wall here. But honestly, as much as I think I might be excited and know a lot about it, I do not. Mm-hmm. Like the logistics of like how big a hallway should be and like, you know,
supporting walls that you can't take down.
Exactly. Like, I mean, contractor will tell you like you can't take down this wall, but still I feel like they might not know about like certain design elements, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited that I have a duo that's like they got design and contract all in one. And I tried to get a quotes from like other people, but they were also just like really slow at getting back to me, and I wanted to firm things up with this contractor, but it was totally free for them to come in and give a quote. And they quoted actually on one of the houses that I didn't buy and then this house that I did buy.
Okay.
And then I guess they'll come in and quote for free, but obviously they expect that they will be
the like, people to get the job.
Yeah, like they don't, obviously that's not like a for sure. You're definitely still allowed to get other quotes, but they definitely want to be in the running. Like you don't want to just like ask a contractor to come in and then they give you a quote and then you're like, hey, bye, but I actually want my other friend to do it.
Yeah, it's just like kind of a nice human being thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same way, I don't know, for a lot of different work, people ask you like,
well, real estate agents too, right? You get them to show you so many different homes.
Yeah.
And it takes lots, like so much of their time.
Yeah. And they might not get a sale, obviously. I mean, I had a contract, so.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I mean, I only signed a contract when I bid on my first home with them, because they're like, we're like your official representation right now. But you can't jump real estate agents like back and forth.
Okay.
Maybe yours was fine with that. But when I signed my contract, they're basically like, you can't like leave. We can't show you all these homes and then all of a sudden you go with somebody else and find a home like the next day.
Right.
Because they did put in all that front work.
Yeah, which is fair, right?
Yeah. So like it's like till September or something. It's just like a couple months that I had to be looking at a home with them.
Yeah, that's, you know, fair. Let's talk about, so you said there was a house that you didn't get.
Yeah.
Like, let's talk about all the homes that you went to see and what it's like in that, like, figuring out process before you actually get a house.
It's like, it's kind of fun. Is I found it really fun to go house shopping. Did you find it fun?
Yeah, it's really fun. But it does take up so much of your time.
So much of my time. Yeah, it was like my nightly activity every single week, twice a week usually. But yeah, it was fun just seeing the possibilities in every space. And also I just love homes, so mm-hmm. I could be like, oh, this house is so nice, or like this neighborhood's so nice. So I loved doing that and looking around. But it is very overwhelming when you're like, I think I like this place. Do I want to bid on it? How much is it going to cost to renovate it? There's just like so many questions you have.
Yeah, I think that's a problem too with me, is because I like design so much, I get like so easily attached to homes yeah. that I go see. It's like, oh, well, here's what I could do here, and here's what I could do here, and I love that idea, so like I want this house, you know?
Yeah.
How many homes do you think you saw before you bid on one, or before you got your final one?
That's a good question. Like, I honestly don't know, but probably over 40.
Wow.
Yeah, I think so. Because sometimes I would go see... drink it hot. All about house buying and owning. BRB.
Do-do, ad break. Hi, guys. I'm here to tell you about our merch called... Do we have a merch name? I don't think we do. It's just called Nervous Laughs. It's a inside joke that we always share in the office. And literally every time I wear my shirt, I always get a comment from a stranger. So if you like talking to strangers and having them give you compliments, you need this shirt. Also, Kiki Palmer, when I wore it on Strahan and Sarah, she said it was so cute. I'm like, don't worry, girl. I'm going to send you one. I can also send you one too. If you go to www.thestorygirls.com and head on over to the shop tab, you can shop our shirt and our templates, and those are DIY templates as well as patches and stuff. We have some goodies over there. We don't usually push our merch too hard because we try to be hashtag humble, but we would love it if we could all nervous laugh a little bit more in our nervous laugh tees together.
Okay, I want to make sure that we are addressing everybody here, not just three in one night. Mm-hmm. Maybe not quite for it. Maybe, yeah, but like maybe 30. Because I bid alone on like three or four of them.
That's right.
And then I saw like, you can go see like a couple in one night. And then sometimes that was twice a week.
Yeah, that's
for
right.
For like since March.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
March to like end of August. Yeah, maybe 40.
I would say we maybe saw like 20, but I don't know. Yeah, it was because we did the same thing where we saw a bunch each time we went out, like five or six.
Yeah.
But we only went out maybe five times.
Whoa.
I don't know. But you saw a bunch, right?
Yeah.
And then that's the thing. You get like attached to them, which is so sad. So do you want to talk about like the one that you bid on and lost, I guess, how that felt? And
yeah, I bid on a couple and lost. The one... like the really serious one that I bid on and lost by $4,000.
Which is not much to people.
Yeah.
Who don't know homes, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. That's like, yeah, that's nothing. Yeah. That was like a total reno, like more than the reno I'm doing now to my current house. Mm-hmm. But I just, yeah, it was like, you could do so much with it, right? Because when you're tearing everything out, you can make it all your own. And it had a laneway and a garage, which means that in the future you could potentially do a laneway house, which is soon / becoming legal in Toronto. Certain areas it's already legal, you have to get permits and stuff, but that means you can basically have like an apartment above your garage, which is a whole nother income. So I was already looking at doing an income. Mm-hmm. Just because I don't need a whole house for myself, and that would mean that I could have like two incomes, which is crazy.
That would be wild.
Very worth it.
And that's something you're able to do with your new house currently, right?
Yeah, even though I finally like settled on one contractor, but I was getting a quote from another contractor, and he messaged me. He's like, are you sure you want to turn it into two units? Because like there's a lot of costs that come with that. And then I was like, do I want to do that? Like now all of a sudden I felt like I was second guessing myself, even though this mm-hmm. whole time I'm like, this is what I want to do. I know it's a cost to turn especially a single family unit into two separate units.
Because that means twice as many bathrooms, twice as many kitchens, right?
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, the biggest cost that I have to incur right now is finishing the basement. So I guess if I didn't have a tenant on the second floor, then I wouldn't need to finish the basement because I'm putting my bedroom in the basement and the bedrooms are on the second floor. You know what I mean?
I think so.
Yeah. So if I was living in the home, the basement could just stay unfinished.
Right, I see.
But the way I look at it is like, yes, it costs a little bit of money to finish the basement, but that's like going to be a huge return on investment there.
Yes, because like, you can rent it out every month, right?
Well, I'm not renting out the basement. I'm renting out the second floor.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah. So I'm like, yes, that's a huge cost, but that's something that will totally pay for itself. What might not pay for itself is adding a kitchen upstairs and turning that into a second unit.
So you're talking about when you sell it.
Yes, yes,
that's
when I sell it.
About. I'm like, it's an investment because you make the money back on rent and you can't rent it with only one kitchen.
No, yes, sorry. Yes, when I go to sell.
Got it.
Whenever that is, down the road.
The idea is, I mean, maybe you're not even thinking about when you go to sell it. The idea is that you make it all back based on rent, right? When you live there.
Yeah, so I guess it's kind of like how much money are you putting into a reno and how much rent are you making every month? That's what you need to look at.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, if you can rent this for like even $2,000, oh my God, Toronto, the market. But I want to be like fair. I don't want to be money gouging, but also would like to pay off this reno. But yeah, if you look at how much you're spending on the reno to convert it to two units, it's like, how long is it going to take me in rent money to pay that off?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely something you have to consider. When we went to go, before getting our current house, there was a couple that we saw as well. And there was two that we put bids on.
Yeah.
Before the current one. The first one is like probably one of the coolest homes I've ever seen. And I'm sad that we didn't get it, but it was expensive. So that's why.
Mm-hmm.
It was like total 70s design.
Oh, cool.
It had a sunken living room.
Whoa.
Which I am obsessed with that design feature so much.
That's crazy.
But this house was whack. Like, there was really good pros and really odd cons.
Yeah.
Like, the kitchen was the coolest kitchen I've ever seen. Like, it was just beautiful. The sunken living room. It was a bungalow, actually. So the whole house was like one main floor and then a basement.
Yeah.
Awesome layout. But it had a pool in the backyard.
Oh, shoot.
Which you actually kind of don't want unless you really want to upkeep a pool because pools are really expensive.
And insurance.
Yes.
Yeah, but heating, insurance.
So we really didn't want the pool.
Oh, okay.
But you can't just fill in a pool. You have to get it professionally removed. It's like legal.
Yeah.
So that would have been an extra expense. Like, shoot, we might have had it for like the first summer just because fun and then gotten rid of it.
Damn.
So there was that to consider. And then in the basement, like, this is how whack in 70s this home was. The basement was carpeted.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a hot tub in it.
Oh.
I'm thinking this was some swingers house or something.
That's amazing.
It was wild. Like, very cool.
Did you bid on this?
We did, yeah. But I think we lost it to someone who bid higher. Because
yeah. Because they were like, I need this house.
Yeah.
And I'm keeping really cool. The pool.
Exactly. So I still like think in Lasai about that house. Like, think about it. But
one day.
That one I get. I'm like, I get it. Then there was another one that we felt much more confident about being able to get.
Yeah.
Before we saw the one we're in currently, and it was a house. It was very similar layout to our current house, but had more walls up, which is actually nice that our new one had less walls, like they were taken down.
Yeah.
Same style of house and everything, like kind of same layout. And we put in like a good offer, and I guess we just lost it because somebody else had either less conditions or a better offer.
Sometimes people overpay for those houses.
I know. And that one was really hard because I loved that house. We were thinking about all the things we could do to it, mm-hmm, and how great it would be. It had a huge backyard, which was really awesome. I don't know. I felt good about that one, and then we lost it. So that's like a sad. It's like, it's really sad. Like, this thing that you've been thinking about and dreaming about, and to find out you don't get it.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like, in those cases, you think, like, it's the end of the world, but you don't know what's coming next.
It's true.
Which is, like, a life lesson in itself. So after that didn't happen, then we saw our current house.
Yeah.
And that's a funny story, too, because it was after we had found out we lost the one, I was, like, oh, sad and heartbroken.
Yeah.
Like, finding a house is hard, and there's no good ones, and I don't like, they're all so expensive, and I don't like any of them. And it was, like, one of the days where we were going out to see, like, five at a time.
Yeah.
And we had planned all the other ones, and there was, like, good listings and pictures for them. But then this last one, it was just a listing that had been thrown up that very day.
Oh, yeah.
And there was no pictures of the inside at all. It was just a picture of the outside from the street.
Huh.
And
usually that means they're scary inside. I saw a lot of houses like that. I was like, oh, there's no pictures inside. Cool. It's a full reno.
Exactly. That's what I had assumed, too, right? And the price was good. So I was like, oh man, this is going to be like a wreck inside.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, let's just go see it. Last one of the day. Let's just see what happens. Like, worst case, we don't bid on it. Like, we have so many other homes. So we went and we walked in and I opened the door and it's beautiful inside. Mm-hmm. Like, hardwood floors. Like, the kitchen's all renovated. You guys have seen my house in vlogs.
Yeah.
And I think I walked in and I literally said, like, why is this listed? It's like, for this price. Like, what is going on
here?
Like,
yeah. This house is gorgeous. Died here?
Yeah. Like, what happened? We need to put a bid in right away.
Yeah.
And we did. And I mean, it's a bit of a sad story, but like the reason that it got listed so fast and for that price is because the family was going through a divorce, which is like very unfortunate and sad, but I think that's why they wanted to get rid of it.
Yeah.
But the frustrating thing about this house, and I think one of the points we can talk about is like, do you bid lower? Do you bid higher for homes? What's the strategy here? For this house, because we loved it so much and it was a good price, we gave them exactly asking offer. Mm-hmm. Like exactly what they wanted, exactly the conditions. Like we said, you asked for it, we're signing, take it.
Yeah.
Which, in my opinion, should mean done deal.
No, no.
It's very frustrating that like, I don't know, I feel like in a way it should be like a legally binding thing. If you ask for something and someone says yes,
right,
you should have to give it to them.
I see that, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So we were, I think, the only offer.
Yeah.
Gave them exactly what they wanted the day they listed it. And they came back. And this is what was so frustrating. They said, we decided that since you gave us what we want and didn't ask for lower, we think we can charge more for it.
Right.
Which should not be allowed. Like, that's very unfair and, like, kind of just, I don't know.
Yeah, that's something I didn't realize with house buying is that it actually is such a game. Mm-hmm. And it is frustrating. Yeah, like when I was bidding on the house that I didn't get and they were asking for higher bids and I was like, am I bidding against myself? And my real estate agent's like, we don't know. She's like, that's literally, like, she's like, you just have to go in what you're comfortable with. I liked what my real estate agent said. She's like, put in a number that you're not going to be upset if you go as high where, like, you're not going to be upset if you don't get it. Mm-hmm. Because, like, you couldn't go higher and that, like, you won't regret, like, not going higher. Put in something you're comfortable with, but that you won't regret it if you didn't get it, basically.
I guess so, yeah. And it's not even like they were like, can you offer more? Or we got another bid that's higher. We're going to go that direction. No, what happened is they took it off the market for a day.
Oh, shit.
After our bid, because they were like, we want to reevaluate stuff.
Right.
The next day they put it up for a little bit more and then we gave them that asking. And then after that, they were kind of like, okay, you can have it.
Yeah, that seems weird.
It seems not morally exactly right in my books.
Yeah. What I think they should have done was send a counter offer back. I don't know if this is legal in real estate, but they should have sent a counter offer with the price that they wanted instead of taking it off the market and putting it back up. I mean, I'm just assuming that they wanted more people to come in and see it, right?
Yeah, and my guess is because of their situation, like, they couldn't agree
on
what to do here.
Yeah.
Which is really sad. But, yeah, but even still, can we just say in that case, if I, let's put this into, like, children's terms here.
Kijiji relation.
If I say, like, you're eating a delicious-looking sandwich, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, I want that sandwich.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, you can have it. But then I'm like, no, wait. I want that sandwich and that cookie. Like, that's just silly. You got what you wanted for, take it and leave.
Yeah.
It's greedy is what it is, okay? Come on, people.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know you had to, like, deal with that even more so about, like, because in Toronto, it's crazy. You have to, like, bid more than what they're asking usually, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the case?
You're, like, in Toronto, but I bought a little closer even so
yeah,
to
I'm
Toronto.
Yeah, a little more of the outskirts, which is where things are maybe a little less
calmer.
Hectic.
Also, a couple years ago, things are a little calmer. Yeah, things ain't so calm. Yeah, I would in no world consider going in, like, at asking. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I just thought my real estate agent, even though I already bought my house, she sent me a listing that just sold, like, right around the corner from my house. Because it was actually hard to figure out what my house was worth when we're going in with the bidding. Because, yeah, in Toronto, like, you can't just offer them what they are asking for. Because, A, they probably want more than that. It's kind of like what in your situation. Like, that's not what they actually want. They want more. But they try to get a bidding war going. And, B, yeah, you'll just be outbid by somebody else. So you have to go in over asking for sure, most likely. But she sent me And I was hard to judge. It was hard to figure out what my house was worth because the area that I bought in, there's lots of detached homes. Mm-hmm. And my house is a semi-detached, which like I'm like, does that really matter? But then
it matters.
Yeah, it matters. Like people will pay more for a detached versus a semi-detached. So she's like, well, this house has cost this much, but, you know, it has a renovated this. But it's so hard to figure it out. Anyways, but she sent me a listing, a semi-detached that just sold. Like right around the corner from my house. So it's like, oh, we can compare it to this one. And mm-hmm. I looked at the pictures and I was like, oh, it's so dated. Like my house, I think, is more renovated than this one. And it definitely will be by the time I renovate it. And it sold for $250,000 over what my house sold for.
Wow. It did have
like two garage parking, and my house like barely has one garage parking because the garage is so small and it's a shared driveway. But long story short, I was like, that is some good news. It means that A, I got my house for like a pretty good price, and B, it means that when I put all this money in renovating it, that it's going to be worth a decent amount of money.
It's true. I do the same thing because there's a lot of homes in my neighborhood that go for sale, and I always check online yeah. like to see what they're worth.
Yeah.
And most of them are worth more
okay.
than what we paid. So it's all looking up.
Yeah.
It's looking good.
Investment life.
That's right. So, okay, so hold on. You get this house, and now it's going to be a income property, which
yeah.
means you're going to rent it.
Yep.
How do you feel about being someone's landlord now?
Well, it's an income property, but I live there.
Yes.
So I feel like it's, like, different than, like, oh, I'm just putting this out there, and I'm not dealing with it. But, yeah, being a landlord, I don't know. I've thought about this because I've had a lot of crappy landlords. I think together we've had good landlords.
Yeah, pretty good.
Our first apartment together and then our second apartment.
Yeah, they've all been really, really nice guys.
But since then it kind of went downhill. Becky, you're my good luck apartment charm. Because, yeah, like this loft, we have our own issues with this loft. But, and then, yeah, my current apartment I'm in is like the worst landlord experience ever. Literally scary. Literally, he's pushing every single person out of that house,
but also at times has been the nicest person. So
yeah,
hard to read.
That's why it's even worse. I'm just like, he's so nice, but when he's not nice, I'm like, why am I about to cry? anyways, but yeah, I think it'll be chill being somebody's landlord. I just want to find somebody who's kind of like-minded to me, so that I'm not like, why are you not recycling properly, or like, why are you leaving on the lights? You
right.
know what I mean? I want somebody who I get along with on that, in that sense.
And respects those things. So you gotta write that in a contract.
I know.
Must be eco-conscious to live here.
I know. I don't know what the legalities are finding somebody like that, but I know because the market is so tough in Toronto that landlords kind of have their pick. And obviously you can't be discriminatory, but mm-hmm. I think that you can, especially when they're living with you, like it is a separate apartment, but it is like in my home. It's not like I live somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you're allowed to pick somebody who's like, I want to get along with them.
Of course.
And to be a good fit.
Because you don't want to feel like a bad landlord, too, if you guys don't get along and then they
yeah.
just blame you like, for issues, right?
Turn down your loud music. They're like, what? I have a band. I told you I had a band.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what?
You don't want a whiny tenant, too. Like, I know someone who's a landlord and some of their tenants are literally like, I'm out of toilet paper. You must get me more. Or this light bulb
died.
You must come replace it. Like, these are things that you can do.
Okay, well, the toilet paper is like crazy.
I know
that the light bulbs are like a blurry line. Yeah,
if it's like a lamp that you brought in.
I remember in our first apartment, the light bulbs were so high up because we had like a very peaked roof, and B, they were like a special kind of light bulb. He's like, these light bulbs cost like $40. I'm not gonna make you buy those, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
He would come over and switch them for us. So
good landlord.
Yeah. Note to self: don't put in lights that they can't reach, and B, don't buy expensive light bulbs, and then they can handle their own light bulb changing. But yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll see. I have to have a contract and stuff.
That's right.
Solidify that. Will I allow pets? I don't know. I know you have to allow pets, but also
I think
allergies.
Do you have to?
Yeah, that's in Toronto it's a rule. Like, even if the contract says no pets allowed, like, you have to let them have a pet. But then also there's this whole other side rule where it's like, if the landlord lives in the house or in the like space and there's an allergy, then you can say no pets. And my boyfriend does have a cat allergy, and so does Angela.
Yeah, I thought it was something like you're allowed to say no, but then if they get a pet afterwards, you can't kick them out or something.
I think it's like
blurry line.
Yeah, it's blurry. It's confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, you want your landlord to be on your good side. So
Yeah, you don't want to hide things from them like a pet.
Yeah. And if it is shared air, which my house is, then like you're going to get that like pet dandruff everywhere.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, I want a cat, but if people are allergic, man, I don't know. Okay, so but if it came to, there's this whole thing. My mom actually taught me this. It's like the triangle. It's like you can have three things, but usually something always has to give, mm-hmm. right? So let's say there's location. Let's say it's like the house, everything that you wanted in a house, there is. And then there's the price, mm-hmm. which is like a good price. You can only, something has to give and take, right?
Yeah.
If it's the perfect place, they don't exist. That's usually,
usually
the case. So if you had to choose between location, price, and the house itself, what would you kind of like get, what would you give up on?
Well, I wouldn't want to choose any of them, but I think in our case, it would probably be location that we gave up on a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's in more of like an up and coming neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But also like in the larger scheme of things, like considering what Austin wants and what I want, I think our location works really well.
Yeah, it's
for
true.
What we have.
That's true.
Because we both have to kind of go separate ways for our jobs.
Yeah.
But I guess if you're objectively looking at the house and what it has to offer, I think location would be the only thing that's like, this could be in a better spot.
Right.
But I love the house. It kind of had everything we wanted. Like we wanted a detached house. We wanted something with a yard. We wanted something with a driveway mm-hmm. and a garage. And we have all of those things.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. And then the price, it was like affordable for us.
So yeah.
No complaints on that end. Yeah, I guess that'd have to be it. What about you?
I think I'm like pretty happy with everything. But I think if I was buying and looking, the house is the thing that I would kind of like give up on a little bit, because I feel like looking for your dream house, like maybe at any stage, but definitely as a first home, is like crazy mm-hmm. because you need to just get that out of your mind, because you're probably not going to find your dream house.
I think you have to like think about what things, I guess, are like, or in our case, we had to think about like what things were adjustable when
yes.
you're thinking about dream house.
That's exactly what I was thinking too.
Yeah. Like for our case, like you can't just add a backyard if you don't have one.
Right.
Like you can't do that.
Yeah.
But like aesthetics inside the house, like I feel like I got that.
Yeah.
And I wasn't necessarily expecting to get a house like quote unquote as nice as the one that we got. Like I was okay with doing work in the
yeah,
house.
Yeah.
I wanted like the shell of it to be good and like the surrounding. I wanted a detached house for sure, and I wanted a yard. But
yeah.
like the inside of the house, I was good to have to put work in.
Why did you want a detached house? Because I feel like I'm kind of like, meh, it doesn't matter. Now the only thing I realize is like you just don't get light on both sides, but mm-hmm. that's not the biggest deal. Like why are you like, I want to detach? Because I feel like I don't see that big of a difference between a detached and a semi-detached.
That's true. Well, coming from our old house was like a townhouse.
Yeah, so that's different.
It's a little different. Yeah.
Yeah,
so we could sometimes hear our neighbors and mm-hmm. then like our driveways were like connected, so you'd have to like see them all the time, which if you have like okay neighbors, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
But I guess Austin and I are just, like, we really like our privacy.
Yeah.
And not having to share a wall with somebody else, like,
yeah.
kind of meant a lot for us.
Yeah.
So that's why we were looking for, like, we want, like, this piece of land to be, like, our little, like, zone. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
our little area. Like, this is all ours, like, on all sides of the house. Like, we want our little, like, place. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get that.
So that's what kind of mattered for us. But, of course, it doesn't matter for everybody.
No. Yeah, it was, like, when people – that's even when I was looking at prices of houses, I'm like – what's the big deal? I was like semi-detached. Now I'm just like, I wish I had windows on that side. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I'm not expecting to hear anything, especially in like maybe your townhouse is a little bit different and constructed differently.
Yeah.
But like an old Toronto house, like we got a pretty decent brick wall between us.
That's good. Yeah. Because not all homes are like that too. And you don't even really know necessarily until you've been living there for like 3-4 months. And all of a sudden your neighbor now has a baby that's up in the middle of the night. Exactly.
Shut up.
Right?
That's brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then it feels like you're in an apartment.
Yeah. Which
yeah.
is something I guess we were trying to avoid.
Yeah. Wow. True. Now I know.
But yeah, I did experience that triangle. I feel like everywhere we went, there was like something that we had to compromise on. But
yeah.
That's life, baby.
It is.
I think what we did is we had a list of like my wants and Austin's wants.
Yeah.
And then we just tried to find a home that crossed off as many on both lists as possible.
Yeah.
And then we also had like our hard yeses and nos for what we would even go see, I guess.
True. Yeah. House. That's something I'm buying my house on my own. So I don't have to, have the two lists of yeses and nos.
It's a lot
just
easier,
me.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I guess that's something I don't realize how lucky I was in that sense.
You get the final say on pretty much everything, right?
Yeah, which is also scary because then I look to people and I'm like, am I doing the right thing here? Because I'm the only one like making these decisions.
That's right.
Jeez.
Did you have a list of like absolute yeses and nos? Like, if it's got this, I'm not taking it.
I mean, I honestly didn't have a physical list. And I wonder what my real estate agent would say about me, about how I was as a...
About what you wanted?
As a client, yeah.
Because they have to know you, right?
Yeah, but because I think I was turning it into two units, that was like the only thing that I was really looking for.
Right.
Like, I don't know. If things were like the kitchen wasn't renovated, like, you know what I mean? Things like that. I was like, whatever. I'm probably doing a lot to this home anyways. So it didn't really matter what it was.
And location, I think, mattered for you a little bit, right?
Yeah, I guess location was the thing. Some houses I like didn't want to go see if they weren't close to the transit, even though like I drive. But in my mind, I want to take transit a lot more. Mm-hmm. And also, if I'm renting it out, I want it to be close to transit so that somebody renting it is like, cool, this is on transit line. Easy
for me. You
don't
need to have a car.
Yeah, you don't have to have a car to rent my unit. Anyways, I will definitely dive more into this whole house thing. It is a lot. I've learned a lot. And hopefully I can bring you guys along and you can learn some too throughout the renovation process. I know you guys have been asking about a series. There will be a series. I don't know exactly like when it will
start.
But I've been like planning things and I don't even move into the house yet. I've moved into it October 23rd. That is my closing date. Actually, I don't move in there. I learned this very recently, this last week, that your closing date probably isn't your move-in date because your lawyers take up like the entire day to do all their lawyer business. And then you won't get the keys probably until like right before the office closes. So like 4 or 5 o'clock. It's not like you walk in at 9 and you're like, give me my keys.
Yeah, which is something fun that we had to learn because we weren't coming from a rental. We were coming from owning a house before. And you kind of have to sell your house first to get a new one.
Right.
So that you can pay off your existing mortgage.
Yeah.
Unless you're just mad rich and can kind of afford 2 homes temporarily.
Yeah.
But we couldn't. So we had to sell our house and then we didn't get the keys like until like a full day later. So we had literally our life in a moving van.
Yeah.
And we went to go sleep at like Austin's parents' house for the night.
Yeah.
And then the next morning or like midday, we got the keys and then we got to go move in.
So brutal.
That's an experience.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I know this now. So I'm not planning to do anything on the 23rd. And I'm lucky that I have my apartment till the end of October. So I have a whole week, although we might be leaving town. But anyways, I have some days where we can... I can slowly move in. I have a couple days I can move in. Yeah.
That's great.
Okay, let's finish this off with some letters to the podcast editor. All right, I'll start it off with one from Marie. Hey girls, a listener from France here. First of all, I love your podcast. I find it super refreshing and calming. Thank you. Secondly, the episode on the pressure posting online resonated with me. I'm a student who likes to sometimes post my art on Instagram. And although I'm always repeating to myself that I don't care about the likes and the numbers, each time I post, I can't help myself from looking at every notification and feeling disappointed when I don't get more. I feel like it's a very negative mindset to have, so I'm trying my best to battle it. Like, do it for your passion, not for the likes. You feel me?
I feel ya.
I also heard about the Instagram masking likes, and I think it's a good idea. It lets you enjoy the content without comparing yourself to others, at least not the likes. Finally, I really loved your video on redoing DIYs. I think that you found a better way to do it, what you already did, and then why not share it? That way everyone's learning. Thank you for reading my email. Have a nice day. Love you, Marie.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Marie. Yeah, girl, I feel you.
It's nice to know we're not all struggling with this alone.
I'm glad. I think it's good that they're masking the likes. And I guess like one thing you can think of is somebody told me this at one point or I've heard it, but it's like feeling grateful for the people that showed up, not bitter for the people that didn't.
Yeah. That's
so, great. You know, you might get like less likes than you were expecting, or even if it is a really well performing post, it's still, if you look at other people's posts, you're like, wow, they get thousands, I get hundreds, whatever it might be. But, you know, looking at those couple of people that did like your content, and take the time to like comment or physically like it. It's like being grateful for those people and not worrying about the people that didn't see it. Also, guys, I scroll through Instagram and I do not like things.
Like, but I mentally like them.
I mentally like them. Yeah. So honestly, I would say, like, I feel like likes overall are going down on Instagram because I feel like people are using it in that way where I forget to like it because I'm like, why do I need to double tap this? I'm like viewing. I'm like, interesting. Yes. Mm-hmm. But I'm not actually physically tapping. And I really have to remind myself to tap because I just don't do it naturally.
That's true. I don't really do it either, but I enjoy so many people's content.
Yeah.
So I guess you could think about how many people probably really like what you do and just don't like physically like it.
Yeah. But I totally get what you're saying.
Okay. Next email is from Hannah, and she says, "Hey there, I'm a university student down at the bottom of the world in New Zealand. When I'm not at uni or studying, I enjoy creating things, and I found y'all back in 2015 when I was on one of my researching scavenger hunts. Whoa. I run a social media account called @thekiwicrafter and often find myself on long breaks because I'm hesitant to post. For me, it's my only platform of sharing my creations, and I want to represent the brand well. I hardly post because the content I photograph doesn't live up to my standards I have for myself, but am I being too critical of my art? I feel like it's similar to what many YouTubers have happen as well. Thoughts on a balance between the two?" That's a really interesting dilemma, which I feel like I find myself in too. I think it's really interesting to think about, like, when you're posting in the moment, it feels like such a big deal.
Yeah.
But then when I scroll through past, like, my feed, like, all these photos are great. Like,
who cares? Or also, do you ever do this where you, like, don't post a photo right away because you're like, it's not good enough, and then later?
Always.
Yeah, later you're like, oh, this is great. Why am I not posting this? So think future you would think.
It's true. I use Visco to edit my photos, and my Visco feed is like 3 times as big as my Instagram feed.
Yeah,
because I'm just like, this one's not ready yet, or like, this one's not worthy, which is so dumb.
Yeah,
like nobody is as critical of your stuff as you are, like 100%.
That is so true. You are your biggest critic.
It's true. So I mean, yeah, think about what future you would think. I don't know.
I think that you probably are being too critical. I know that there's also totally something to be said for not putting something out there that you aren't proud of or that you think isn't finished yet, especially, I don't know what kind of art you're doing exactly. I can check you out. But yeah, I think that you probably are being too critical and you miss 100% of the shots that you never take. What? Did I say that right?
Yeah. You miss 100% of the likes you could get on a photo that you don't post.
Yeah. So if you like,
is that a not useful analogy? I don't know.
If you're not putting yourself out there, then, you know, there might be certain opportunities or people to inspire that's just not happening.
That's true. I like that a lot. Well, thanks for sending in your emails, guys. If you ever have any thoughts you want to talk about or questions you have, you can email us at podcast@thesorrygirls.com and we'll get back to you. Before we leave you on this episode, we gotta figure out the poll and find out how many of our Instagram followers, this is @thesorrygirls,
yeah,
you posted it on, how many of you guys rent versus home owning? Put your guesses in right now. Just yell at your phone or computer or whatever you're listening to this on.
How do I even find this out? Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not too surprised by this. So 69% rent and 31% own.
Oh, that's actually less of a
gap
than I thought it'd be like 75-25,
yeah,
or even more split.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Okay, good. We got a decent amount of homeowners that we can still make content for.
Yeah, that was my other whole thing about getting a home. I'm just like, I still want to be relatable to the renter, so yes. I'm definitely keeping that in mind when I'm doing things like giving tips and tricks that will apply for renting and homeowning.
Yes. Yeah. Well, once you get most of the, like, hardcore construction stuff done, too, like, a lot of the aesthetics, like final painting and all that.
Is renter friendly.
Yeah, it's
friendly.
Useful.
For sure.
All right, thanks, guys, for listening, or if you're on the vlog channel watching.
We'll see you and talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye now.